start up your Thursday right here on B&E, Show of the People. Appreciate you doing it today and every day and each day that you can. However you find us, we make it easy as we can, or easy as possible. 1049, 1019 FM, AM 1260, and of course, digitally as well, streaming on your Horn app, which is so easy to download and use. Hope you have that downloaded. We got Texas baseball this weekend, super regional action. Maybe you're headed out of town or be out and about. You can always fire up Texas baseball on that Horn app as well. We always have to remind you, you know, if you go to the Horn app, you're going to go to Listen Live. That's for the programming. But if you're looking for Texas baseball, click on Longhorn Sports, or actually there's a tab there that says Listen to Longhorn Baseball on that Horn app, which is so simple to use. A couple of pushes of the button and you're listening live to Craig Way and The Call or any of our local shows here on the Horn. We're also streaming at hornfm.com on your smart speaker as well. Our Twitch channel, if you want to watch it on video, always there at hornfm.com as well. A lot going on. Appreciate the participation on the Specs text line. Talking about acts you'd love to see one time. I mentioned Ray Charles passed away on this day 17 years ago. That would be really high on my list of guys I'd love to see in their prime in a location like the Moody Theater. Somebody mentioned Johnny Cash for me. I like that a lot. That would be pretty badass. This says, saw Ray Charles at Club Foot in Austin in the early 80s. Well, lucky you. That is awesome. And somebody mentioned, because I talked about how Studio 6A for Austin City Limits is being closed down by Garth Brooks this summer officially. This guy says, as a communications major and fan, I've seen so many great acts in that 6A studio. Great memories. Love that they're closing it down in style. Thanks for sharing. Was not aware. He says, by the way, the best act was Steve Earle. 1988 was phenomenal at Studio 6A. So great memories here in the live music capital of the world. Tom Petty just came in. I like that. Ooh, the now late great Tom Petty, unfortunately. We've lost too many of those tremendous people. All right, let's get to the, let's do the B&E fact of the day. And you're going to like this fact of the day, Isaiah Collier. You're going to really like this one. Got to get, this is good. Then we'll get to your headlines. Then we're talking baseball with the skipper, Ty Harrington. Also, David Pierce will be joining the show at 8:30 this morning. But let's get your brain working this morning.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, Zay. Chris Paul, CP3. My pick for MVP was a stud again last night. How about this? He had 17 points, 15 assists, and 0 assists, okay? No turnovers. 0 turnovers. 17 points. 15 dimes, getting his teammates involved, very balanced scoring in the Suns' route last night. No turnovers. Since individual turnovers were first tracked beginning in 1977, Chris Paul is now the only player in NBA history to have two of those type games in the playoff game, where you have 15 or more points, 15 or more assists, and no turnovers. He's got two. No one else has that. And there are only four others that have ever done it one time. Four other times. Could you name any of the four, Zay?
All right, I'm going to go with my picks from the last fact of the day with Chris Paul, Nash and Stockton.
Stockton and Nash, no.
Wow.
They're not one of the four. Think about it during the headlines, and then I'll let you guess again, and then we'll get you the answer.
All right, gotcha.
That's the fact of the day. First to the news. Trending topic. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, we'll get to that NBA, but first, congrats to Longhorns second baseman Mitchell Daly in college baseball. He was named to Collegiate Baseball's Freshman All-American team yesterday. High honor. He's a first-team All-Big 12 infielder anyway. Started 52 of the 60 games for Texas. .323 is average. A couple of home runs, 14 doubles, and posted a .413 on-base percentage. Plays a pretty snazzy second base as well. Daly and the Longhorns will host South Florida this weekend in the NCAA Austin Super Regional. Trip to Omaha on the line. Elsewhere in college baseball, surprising news from Houston, where the Rice Owls have to have Jose Cruz Jr. to be their next head baseball coach. And of course, Cruz Jr., a three-time All-American in his time at Rice, a member of that 03 College World Series championship team under Wayne Graham. Texas head coach David Pierce was the top assistant that year. Cruz was in his first season as the Detroit Tigers assistant hitting coach, but he's never been head coach at any level. Multiple reports that Texas pitching coach Sean Allen was a strong candidate for that job as well, but it's going to Jose Cruz Jr. Baseball last night, Fenway Park. Astros made it 2-for-2 at Fenway Park. They beat the Bo Sox 8-3. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman both homered to help right-hander Jake Odorizzi pick up his first win as a Stro. Houston's won three straight to look for a sweep there this afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, Rangers scored a run in the 11th to beat the Giants 4-3. That's their second win in the last 14 for Texas. College softball World Series final last night. Oklahoma, top-ranked team in the land, beat Florida State to even that best-of-three series at a game each, 6-2. The final decisive game three is this afternoon in Oklahoma City. And NBA playoffs, as we mentioned, Phoenix, no trouble with Detroit. They wallop them 123-98. Chris Paul, that balanced attack, 17 points, 15 assists, no turnovers. Also yesterday, Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year for the third time in the past four seasons.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, people naming great ones. I mentioned Ray Charles. That would be one of my picks, or my pick. How about Jimi Hendrix? How about Stevie Ray Vaughan a couple of times has come in? I mean, that's one of those questions that's unanswerable. You can just go on and on. It says, has anyone mentioned Elvis? No, that would be pretty good, though. Never saw Elvis, but... By the way, Zay, if you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, the wing dedicated to Elvis is pretty phenomenal. Pretty phenomenal. That's a really cool place if you love music, but the Elvis area is by far the largest as far as for one individual act. And you could spend all afternoon just learning about Elvis and reading about Elvis and hearing Elvis music. That'd be a good pick. All right, do you have an answer for the B&E fact of the day, Isaiah Collier?
Magic Johnson.
That is one. Yes.
Isaiah Zeke Thomas.
Nope.
Kidd.
Jason Kidd. You got two of the four. That's good. I don't think you'll get the next two.
I don't think I'm going to get the next two either.
And again, this is players who have had a playoff game of 15 or more points, 15 or more assists, and zero turnovers. Chris Paul did it for the second time last night in his career. No one has done that. The other two, Magic Johnson did it once. Jason Kidd did it once. Johnny Moore.
Ooh.
Johnny Moore, the great Spur. And Norm Nixon. Nixon.
Okay.
See?
Shout out to Johnny Moore.
Shout out to Johnny Moore. Hey, people saying, where's the Buck? If you're just tuning in, Bucky is out today getting and making final preparations for the Mullet Open tomorrow, the annual golf tournament, which is going to be so much fun and always is. So he's got one final push. He put so much time and effort and love into that event, and he'll be out there live with us tomorrow at Hyatt Lost Pines, Wolf Dancer. All 4 hours. So he's getting everything finalized today. He'll be with us tomorrow. So this morning it's myself and Isaiah Collier and special guests. We've got great guests lineup, including our next guest. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, online at avconsultations.com. Tom McKay will be out there at the golf tournament tomorrow. Always donates a big television to the event tomorrow at the Mullet Open. Always a great partner with us and so many things we do here around the radio station. Appreciate him. But let's go to the Vaqueros hotline. He is a great friend of mine, the 20-year head baseball coach at Texas State, now doing great work on television and in broadcasting. He also is a great former Longhorn as well. He is Ty Harrington. Ty, how are you, bud?
Man, I'm fantastic. Good morning to you guys.
Yeah, man. You ready for some super regional baseball? Sweet 16 time.
I am, and I got to tell you, before we go into it, I got to give a special shout-out to my old teammate David Denny from Barbers Hills, playing their first time in a state tournament, and certainly he, a Longhorn legend and great himself. And so a bunch of us going to run out there this afternoon to Dell Diamond and watch him, so I wanted to wish him the best of luck.
That is so cool. That's what a great weekend for baseball here in Central Texas. You got the high school finals going on out at Dell Diamond, got super regional action, and you got to see it up close as a player and then in a coach for 20 years, Ty. I mean, this is a great state for baseball, man. It is as good as it gets.
Nobody's better. I don't care. I'm a Texan proud for sure, but I don't think any state does it better than the great state of Texas. And, man, it is a special weekend. If you love baseball, just get in your car and go back and forth. And you'll see some of the finest baseball in the high school amateur baseball you're going to see. And I'm excited about getting back out to Dish Falk. And, I don't know if you had a chance to get out there last weekend. I went to most of the game, all three games, actually. And but Saturday, that place was absolutely on fire. It brought back so many memories and beyond. And that place was vibrating. It was so loud in there, and I was so excited for all the fans. I think everybody was ready to get out and holler and scream and love on their Longhorns. And the players and the team and the coaches didn't disappoint at all last weekend. That was some kind of dominating experience that they had last weekend at a high level in postseason play. And so that was special and fun to watch. That's for sure.
Awesome. And awesome to hear about your teammate in Barbers Hill. I also saw where Adrian Allen, he's the former Longhorn pitcher. He's the skipper now at Sinton High School, his alma mater. He's got his team out there at Dell Diamond. So good luck to all those Balls players and coaches and just high-level baseball here in Central Texas. Ty Harrington is with us. And I want to talk to you. You've really kept a close eye on this Texas team, and I know you enjoy watching this Texas team. We're going to talk to Coach Pierce coming up at 8:30. Our weekly visit, but he's a very humble guy, and we always say, you know, what job well done, and he passes along the credit to players and coaches. But, you know, you were a manager for a long time, and this year has been unlike any other with the rosters. I mean, you had players that normally would have moved on and graduated and been drafted that weren't and didn't, and then you added an influx of freshmen. I mean, let's talk about watching David Pierce manage this roster. It's been a big challenge to manage all these players and playing time and carve out the roles. That's not an easy thing to do when you're dealing with, you know, more than 30 players.
It's not. It's really a challenge. And this year, after talking to a ton of coaches throughout the country, actually, it has been a challenge for them. I think at first it was a comfort having numbers. And as it evolved, then it becomes about, you know, you only put 9 guys in a lineup. And that becomes a challenge trying to manage those personalities and you know, being a great teammate and do it. And I think what, you know, Coach Pierce did, I think if you go back into April, maybe even late March, early April, he talked about, you know, these are the guys that we're going to go with right now. And I think his ability to be upfront and honest with his team was important. I truly believe that. That's an art of coaching that sometimes gets misplaced. And I think he did an unbelievable job. Now, I'm not in that locker room, but you can tell by that team's personality, E. They have bought every inch in. That dugout to watch during games and to watch their confidence and their belief in each other and the way they interact. I mean, you know, as a coach, you watch a lot more than just the game itself. There's a lot of small pieces of it that mean a lot. And those guys, their interaction between each other as teammates and coaching staff has been truly a lot of fun to watch. And he has. I think David's done an unbelievable job of managing personalities at a place where a magnifying glass is on you all the time. And I think a lot of it has to do also with the way his staff has worked with him and the team. But I also think it's got to do a little bit with, if you go out there and you look at some of those older players that are out there playing for Texas right now, and their strength of leadership and their command on that field and their presence, personality, has been phenomenal all year long and a lot of fun to be a part of and watch.
Yeah, guys like Ty Madden and, you know, Zach Zubia. I mean, these are guys that have been around, but you know, when Coach Pierce talks about Ty or any of those guys, I mean, those are the hardest workers on the team. And, you know, the young guys fall in line behind that, and you've seen it. And the other thing, I heard you make a comment the other day when you were on with the afternoon guys, that this is the same team every day. I mean, and that, as a coach, I mean, I know that's what you want to see, right? You don't have to guess which group you're getting today. Are they going to be, you know, loafing around and, you know, not engaged in the practice? You know, when you talk about the consistency of this ball club, 45-15, they've had, you know, they usually respond to a loss with a winning streak. I mean, that's not something that goes game by game. That's a day-by-day situation with a locker room.
There's no doubt about it. And you show up every day in the same mood, the same frame of mind, the same idea, and the same presence, but then really and truly the same goal. I mean, that is so special to find when you get a group that has a talent, because there are other teams that may be as talented, maybe not, but there are teams out there across this country who are, but they're not the same every day. That goes back to a presence or something that was started back in the fall, even during these tough times. I mean, this has been unprecedented times on everybody, by the way, everybody. But I think with, you know, that presence of, you know, whether it's the seniors, the leadership, and I think the younger guys, you know, bought in as well. I mean, overall, it's not an old team. I mean, there's a lot of young pieces in this team that, you know, have played unbelievable, and they have that same presence about them. And so as a coach, when you wake up every morning, you're not worried about, man, I got to go spend 30 minutes with this guy. I got to go spend 20 minutes to get his, you know, this or do that, or I hope they, you know, come together today. I hope they show up with the right frame of mind. Hope they didn't stay out too late. There's so many different things that go into coaching college kids. But, man, if there's something different out there that those guys are doing, I don't think it's been, you know, seen by anybody else. These guys have been the same every time they've shown up, and they're in complete control of their emotions, as it appears so far this year.
No question. Ty Harrington is with us, 20 years as a skipper down at Texas State and helped build that program. Coach, when you look around the bracket, I mean, obviously Tim Tadlock, a great friend of yours, Texas Tech is through. They're going to play Stanford this weekend in Lubbock. What a great series that will be. Arkansas gets NC State in a good one. Texas will be in line if they get to Omaha with the Mississippi State Notre Dame region. And then there's DBU, Dallas Baptist. How about them? They're going to play Virginia. You know, DBU's been a 40-win team so many times under Coach Heifer there, and now they're into a chance to maybe go to Omaha. State of Texas well represented this weekend.
Yeah, and I tell you what, now Coach Tadlock, he may have done the best coaching job that he's done in his career, and he's had a bunch of them now. You don't lose your number one arm before the season starts, your number four, and then your center fielder, and then get to this. I just don't know. I mean, that's a credit to him and his staff and his players. He's done an unbelievable job. Coach Heifner is known as the hitting whisperer in the baseball's world, and he has done an unbelievable job of, you know, getting to where that, building that program to where it is today. And, man, I'm excited for him. And you got to be excited if you just love the great state of Texas, all the great college baseball that's going on, and an opportunity. How cool would that be if three teams from the great state of Texas land in Omaha, Nebraska? You don't think there's going to be a bunch of Lone Star flags flying around Omaha, Nebraska? You're kidding yourself. It will be an unbelievable place to be, that's for sure.
Well, and some people look at DBU coach Dallas Baptist, the Patriots, as kind of a Cinderella. You guys inside the industry understand Coach Heifner's done an unbelievable job there. They've had 40-plus wins. They were a two-seed at the Fort Worth Regional. And Jim Schlossnagel may have said it the best that, you know, they've been an Omaha program. They just haven't gotten there yet, and now they have that opportunity if they can get through Virginia.
I think people don't always know that it's a challenge to get to Omaha first and foremost.
Oh, gosh.
But sometimes the ability to get into a regional where you're not thought of as the other three seed or the other two seed where they pile you in with a number one seed overall really makes it tough. And so sometimes the seeding of it, and so this time, you know, they kept them in an area, a team that they're, you know, familiar with in the TCU regional, and, you know, maybe that had something to do with it, just being close to home and not, you know, being shipped off. But I just, you know, getting there is a challenge, and Jim's right, and congratulations to Jim, by the way, for taking the A&M job. I know he was super excited about that, but the idea, it is just hard to get to Omaha, Nebraska. And when you're a mid-major school like DBU, you're fighting nonstop to get that kind of respect to make this happen. And, man, they're so close. And I hope they pull it off. Virginia's got to be a little bit tired. I mean, I know DBU had to go to that seventh game as well, but I watched Virginia a little bit, and they had to exhaust their bullpen on two different occasions to get to that, you know, final out. So they've got the right moment, the right time, and I truly hope it works out. It would be a lot of fun to be talking about three teams next week from the great state of Texas.
Three of the eight has an opportunity. Now you got to get through South Florida and not look past the Bulls. You know, they are the Cinderella of this bracket now. You know, they were their sixth seed in their own conference tournament and won it, and then they won the Gainesville Regionals we've talked about, beating Florida, Miami, and South Alabama. But, you know, getting hot at the right time is important, too. And I know the coach at South Florida, Coach Bill Moll, is a pitching whisperer, as you called Coach Heifner. I mean, he can really coach some pitching, and that's what we're going to come here and try to rely on and force Texas to earn every run.
If you go through and you start scraping through their numbers, you know, they're going to have over 500 punch outs. And I think they're going to throw enough strikes. I think he is a great pitching guy. You know, he's got Omaha pedigree in him as well. Went to 2005 World Series with Tulane. And so he's done, look, to go through Gainesville and to get through there with University of Florida right there, Miami right there, and to just go through those two teams like they were just, you know, another day in the park for them. And I thought was impressive. There's got to be a reason. If you go back and look early in their season, I think they lost 12 of the first 21 games. And so they had to rally late. What does that mean? Well, it means that your coach probably found the right, you know, ingredient on the mound more times than not. Maybe he found the guy. Maybe some other guys got back that were, you know, hurt early in the year. Who knows? But they found the right ingredient to be able to go to seven games and figure out a way to get here. And all those numbers will start telling you, you know, they got a 4 ERA or something like that. It's not terrible. It's not the greatest. But if you go, maybe if you dug in there hard enough, what's their ERA look like the last, you know, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
A little bit different. It's a little bit lower. Their offense is going to be some swing and miss. They've got some strikeouts in them on the offensive side, but they also have some power numbers. I think it's like 152 extra base hits. But all those things are good numbers. They're playing hot. They're playing well right now. I do think they got those strikes in there. But I got to be honest with you. I mean, it's you know, I looked out the other night on Saturday, and Zach Zuvia is reaching out, telling that crowd to get a little bit louder, and it was already loud. It's a little bit different throwing strikes here than other places sometimes. And that you know, that other fan, that biggest fan, you know, this ballpark and being a Longhorn fan can add some, you know, some presence into that stadium that makes it tough. And they've got a tough chore ahead of them, there's no doubt. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the most impressive things, Texas's defense
has
been unreal all year long. And they really have been. They've been so much fun to watch. I mean, and if you look at the pitching side of it, and I love defense sometimes more than offense, you'll know the truth. And the pitching's been unreal, but their free bases have been between their walks and getting hit by pitches, it's over 400 free passes this year.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. And so when you say opportunistic, and I just think they are, and I hope that they're able to stay the course this weekend. Play unbelievable. That place, I think, is going to be rocking, and hopefully they're able to come out and win another championship this weekend and get back to Omaha, because I think this team really sets up well for the stadium in Omaha and that whole atmosphere.
Very cool. Great. Yeah, and we can combine their free passes and how many base runners and their on-base percentage, Coach, and then that defense you mentioned, they take away, you know, so many plays that against another team would be a hit or a gapper, turning a double play in a big spot. They make it really tough on a team. That's why they've won 45 of their 60 games, because they're opportunistic on their end, and on defense and their pitching, they take so much away from you. Really well balanced for David Pierce. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. Enjoy the high school baseball today, following your former teammate, and we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Enjoy it as always.
Ty Harrington, that is a smart baseball man right there, and a good friend, and appreciate him. And you can tell he's rooting for his Longhorns, and he's right. I mean, that's where Texas is. I mean, they get on base a lot. They don't always execute on the base paths. We know that. But they've got a lineup that can beat you in a lot of different ways, and then pitching and defense still wins, especially in that ballpark. And I think that's what Coach is talking about. You know, when they get to Omaha, they don't play at Rosenblatt Stadium, nor they play in the bigger park downtown, and it's more of a pitcher's park, and, you know, pitching defense and taking runs away is what Texas is great at right now. So if they can get there, it lines up to be a great opportunity for the Longhorns. But first things first, you got to win two games over the South Florida Bulls. Hey, we come back. We will continue these conversations. Mentioned it was the 17th anniversary of the passing of Ray Charles, which was a good topic. It was also the 14th anniversary of a big finale that I wanted to dive into with you. Also, take your buck-ons and buck-offs. Isaiah Collier walks us through Hot or Not before the end of the hour. And as we know, David Pierce will join the show at 8:30 B&E on a Buck Off Thursday.
Smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile, they can share the night. It goes on and on and on.
It's
and
Bucky
on.
And Aaron.
Appreciate Ty Harrington. Great stuff right there. Inside 1 hour, we will have David Pierce, Longhorn baseball coach, Big 12 Coach of the Year, previewing the Super Regional weekend. And at the top of the hour, after the headlines, excited, we're going to talk to Brecken Hager, the former Longhorn football player. His new movie debuting tonight, actually tomorrow night, around theaters in the state of Texas, and then it's going to go national. It's a movie called 12 Mighty Orphans, based on a book, but it was during the Great Depression that a football coach gave up a good job to coach football at an orphanage in Fort Worth, Texas, and whipped his players into shape, and they soon became an inspiration to the city, the state, and the nation. And it's a star-studded cast, directed by Ty Roberts, who's an Austinite, Luke Wilson, Robert Duvall, the great Robert Duvall, Martin Sheen, and Brecken Hager makes his acting debut in this film. So we'll talk with Brecken about the experience and what he thinks of the film, and because I know they had a premiere here this week. So cool stuff right there. So good show. A lot to do. You know, we played Don't Stop Believin', the Great Journey classic, because Isaiah Collier today, 14 years ago, 2007, the final episode ever of The Sopranos aired.
Oh, and, man.
Yes, and this, of course, from the classic final scene of the final episode of The Sopranos, when Tony Soprano went dark. Went dark, Zay. And I watched that scene again this morning. It's about 4.5 minutes. You can go watch it on YouTube. And it's such a great... That whole show was so great. But the scene in the diner, you know, Tony by himself, and then, you know, wife shows up, and then AJ shows up, and they're waiting on Meadow, and the whole bit, she's trying to park the car. She can't parallel park the car. And this song, of course, is, you know, Tony picks this song and plays it on the little at-the-table jukebox, and just an unbelievable scene. And then it goes dark. Then it goes dark as Meadow's running in the door, finally parked her car. But an all-timer. And the question for you on the Specs text line on a Buck Off Thursday would be, is that the best all-time TV finale? I know there's MASH. That was a great TV finale, the most watched ever. But where would you rank Sopranos? And Zay, are you a Sopranos fan?
Big time.
How good was that, man?
Oh, man, so good. Obviously, I was too young to really understand it when it was happening. So I rewatched it as an adult a few years ago, and yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, and going back and watching it again this morning at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock when I got here, because I saw that it was the anniversary, and they clicked through, and it was already there on YouTube, so I'm watching it. Couldn't stop watching it. It's so compelling, and of course, it led to the debates. Was that really the end? Did he go lights out, or was that just, you know, David Chase, the creator, trying to play with your mind on stuff? But clearly, he went out, right? I mean, the guy sitting at the went to the bathroom, and you know, then he comes out, and yeah, he got it. He took a hit, and that's how. If you watch the show for the whole of the seasons, that's how it goes.
You never get whacked. And it was Tony's time.
Tony's time, and obviously we now know there'll never be a. I've always thought that there could be. You know, there are brands and franchises that have prequels. I think a prequel of The Sopranos would be great, where you know you don't have to have James Gandolfini to do it. You can book a young, obviously you cast a young Tony Soprano and all the young characters to go back and, you know, as they, and obviously Uncle Junior as a younger person and all that goes on there, but that would be phenomenal. But the Seinfeld series finale was mentioned. I thought that one got widely panned as a season finale, did it not?
Seinfeld? When they're, what, in prison and stuff? Yeah, that's not as good as people think.
Ooh, here's one. Breaking Bad, hands down, best. Yeah, that I mean you go back and forth on which is a better all-time show, Sopranos and Breaking Bad. Between those two and maybe The Wire, it's really hard to do much better than that. And as far as great television, and both had phenomenal endings. This says best ever series finale, Newhart. Was all a dream. Yeah, that's. I remember that one. I remember that. That was good. That's a good one. That's a good one. Friends final episode. This says, hey, they are doing a prequel to The Sopranos. In fact, Tony's son in real life is playing him as a young man. It's coming out this fall. Well, buck on to that.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I've always thought that would be cool. I'm glad that smarter people than me are way ahead of me on that. That is phenomenal. But yes. So, Ozark. Well, the Ozark hasn't been over yet, is it? Ozark's coming back for another season. I know last year's series finale of what season 4 was pretty intense, but this says Game of Thrones, anyone? Well, that whole season was widely panned, if memory serves, and I did like Game of Thrones. Billions mentioned. I saw that. That was good. That was good. But yeah, today, it was 14 years ago, 07, final episode of The Sopranos aired, and I think like most people, I remember watching it live and just sitting in silence. Because it was a great scene, and then boom, goes black, and there's nothing. I mean, it's just black, and you got to go back watch it. It's black for a while before any credits run, so you're kind of wondering if your TV went out or something. Oh, ooh, what happened? Did I miss something? And then as the credits start to roll, you think, oh, wait a second, that's how it ends. That's how it ends. And then you think, you know, as a mobster, that's how it ends, Zay. That's how it's going to end. You know, you're. One day, you're going to be sitting in a diner with your family, everything's good, and lights out, my friends.
Yeah, I was eating a lot of cannolis and pasta during that time I was watching The Sopranos. It's going to be better.
The characters. All right, so speaking of characters, we'll talk to Brecken Hager after the top of the hour. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics, and also David Pierce will join us as we get this thing rolling on a Thursday. Bucky is out today, obviously, getting ready in final preparations for the Mullet Open, which is tomorrow, the 20th edition of his golf tournament, which he puts on. Station helps, but boy, Bucky does. You know this, you've now seen it up close. Bucky puts a lot of time, effort, love into that tournament, and if you play in a lot of golf tournaments, you won't play in a better one than what Bucky puts on. That's why there's a waiting list of people to be a part of it, but it's a big deal, and we'll be out there tomorrow. And so Buck is getting final preparations in place for all that's going to go on tomorrow, because the show will be out there. We'll be out there live 6 to 10, but there's so much going on. You've seen this now, Zay, with his tournament. This is all, it's, you know, Jancy, he has an assistant that helps him, but boy, they do a lot of work for two great causes, the Refuge Ranch and the Burke Center for Youth, and they do write a big check to both, and it's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, man, I feel for Buck. He's rolling around in doo-doo brown with no AC, just trying to get the mullet ready. Like,
the truck.
Man, it must be brutal.
The doo-doo brown truck we talk about is a 1988 Chevy Silverado. It's got the longest bed of any truck of all time. So 1988, I'm in high school when this truck is a brand new. Zay, I'm in high school. This truck is old. But it still runs, man. It is an old war horse, that's for sure.
Yeah, if that truck hits you, nothing's going to happen to the truck, but your car is definitely total.
All right, Isaiah, did you get the Pete Alonso audio I sent you on Twitter? Go ahead and fire that up, because I want to play this. And this will be quick, because we've got to get to the Hot or Not, we got to get to Brecken, we got to get to Coach Pierce. But, you know, Major League Baseball has got another scandal going on. It's the sticky tack and spider tack idea, the stick them on the baseball. But let me just mention this and say this, because baseball's had scandals, right? And steroids were prominent in baseball, and this got more and more and more and more, and then of course they had to crack down on it, right? That's kind of where they were. Same thing happened with the sign stealing that the Houston Astros became the poster team for. But the sign stealing has been going on in baseball. It's going on today. People always are looking to get an advantage and steal signs, but it went to a point where technology was being used and it was way over the line. And typically baseball is late to react to these things. They allow it, and then they crack down on it when it gets too bad and it becomes a PR nightmare. And that's happening now with the sticky tack, right? Stick them and substances on baseballs is, you know, generations old in Major League Baseball, looking to get a better grip, to get an advantage. Heck, even players, batters, don't mind it, because they're in the box, guy throwing 100 miles an hour. They want him to have as much control of that baseball as possible. But obviously now with the spider tack and the stick 'em and the things that maybe they're moving towards, the spin rate is changing and it's becoming an unfair advantage, just like the sign stealing, steroids, and those things, right? But let me just tell you, the biggest issue in baseball has nothing to do with any of that. The biggest issue in baseball is that the word labor strife is on the horizon. You know, there's a new collective bargaining agreement that it needs ratified before next season, Zay. And listen to Pete Alonso of the Mets. He's one of the best young players in baseball. Talking yesterday, you talk about mistrust between a players' union and an ownership and a league. Listen to this of what he's saying. They're talking about, it's all based around the spider tack and the stick'em conversation. But here is Pete Alonso of the Mets essentially saying that within the Baseball Players Association, it is a known fact that baseball rigs the game in their benefit. Listen to this from Pete Alonso of the Mets.
I hadn't heard until you mentioned it, the idea that they do it based on free agent class. Is that something that players talk about and believe in?
Oh, no, that's a fact. It's not, it's, yes, guys have talked about it, but, in 2019, there's a huge class of free agent pitchers, and then that's quote unquote the juice balls. And then, 2020 was a strange year with the COVID season, but now that we're back to playing a regular season with, a ton of shortstops or position players, that are going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. It's not a coincidence. And I think that it definitely is something that they do.
So there's a ball player saying it's a fact that they rig the ball based on a free agent class, right? That, you know, it's all the pitchers that are on the market this offseason. They can look at that and say, okay, we're juicing the ball. Pitchers will have inflated ERAs. Home runs will be flying, ballparks, whatever. And then when the, you know, free agents hit the market, they're going to make less money because they didn't have a great year because the league juiced the ball. And now here you are, as he's right about who's coming on the market this offseason. It's mostly hitters. Carlos Correa would be an example down in Houston. A lot of offensive players, not as many pitchers. And there's Pete Alonso saying, no, it's a fact. This is when you talk about why they're allowing sticky substances. Why is the ball not flying? Why is the collective batting average 236? There's a player, a prominent player, saying, "Oh no, it's them. They're rigging it." You don't think this is going to be a challenge to get a new labor agreement done again? Which labor strife and issues have been, you know, par for the course for the sport for generations now. But that, just wanted to play that for you, as the level of mistrust between both sides. I mean, that's obvious right there. So bigger issues than Stickum or steroids or sign stealing. That's the biggest issue in baseball right now in my mind. All right, we'll come back when we do the hot or not topics, things we missed halfway through the show. Brecken Hager, David Pierce next hour. Busy Thursday.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not. Appreciate the thoughts on The Sopranos. We played the Journey classic and then got a good conversation. The final episode 14 years ago today, my buddy texted and said, you remember a couple of episodes before the finale, Bobby Bacala asked Tony, do you think you feel it when you get whacked or is it just lights out? So a little foreshadowing there, Isaiah Collier, ahead of the final episode. David Chase, the brilliant creator of Sopranos.
Yeah, he should have took care of Bobby a long time ago.
That's
especially
true.
Especially with his sister.
Ooh,
should have whacked
Bobby
a long time ago.
Agreed. But that's how it go in that game. That's what I'm saying. And that's how it go in baseball. This one says cheating baseball tradition. That's probably true. Getting an edge, some would say. But yes, then it goes too far. How about this for hot or not? If you see someone around town that looks like Odell Beckham Jr., it might be because the Cleveland Browns have put out a tweet of Baker Mayfield throwing passes to OBJ out at Lake Travis University High School field. So, you know, getting the loft season work in here.
Will OBJ make an appearance at the Mullet Open and return Buck's letter?
This is what we're wondering. This is what inquiring minds want to know. You'll know that Bucky openly, because Bucky's an open book on the radio when he's here, admitted that he wrote a handwritten letter to Odell Beckham Jr. as a former coach, trying to encourage him to stick to football and leave the drama stuff aside, and you're a great player, and you know, all that stuff. And he never got anything back. So maybe OBJ will show up at the Mullet Open tomorrow, because he is in town, or at least was yesterday, catching passes from Baker Moneymaker out at Lake Travis University High School field.
Yeah, man. Enjoy ATX, Odell Beckham.
Yeah,
enjoy
man.
Enjoy it.
Browns feeling good about themselves. Isaiah Collier, what do you have for hot or not on this Thursday morning, Buck-ons and Buck-offs?
Okay, E, so this is very interesting. I was watching Inside NBA yesterday with Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles, and they played a clip of P.J. Tucker talking about Kevin Durant, basically praising KD, saying he's one of the greatest scorers of all time. You know, even if he plays his best defense on him, KD's just all-time great. He's going to score. And Charles and Shaq were low-key livid because they thought it was a sign of weakness that, hey, PJ, you're going up against this guy. No need to praise him. We know he's a good player, but y'all got to be better. And basically just saying, during their era, this is a no-go. You hot or not with that?
Well, look, PJ's a Longhorn. KD's a Longhorn. They're buddies. I get that. But, yeah, look, I understand. And, like, even, you know, when Shaq was playing, he's acting like he's old school, which he is now. But back when Shaq was playing, the old school guys are like, come on, Shaq, me dominate. Dominate more than you are. Work on your game. And Shaq and Kobe couldn't even get along. Teammates couldn't even get along. But, yeah, there was a time, you know this, your pops would tell you, there was a time where, you know, you gave no quarter. You didn't, your assignment is to stop him. By the way, I think it should be Giannis, who should be covering him right now, not P.J. Tucker. I think if you're Coach Mike Budenholzer, you're doing a disservice to your team and to P.J. Tucker to try to ask a 6'4", 6'5", physical player to try to cover Kevin Durant, who's 7 foot. I would put your 7-footer, who's all defensive player, on him, but you know, I'm not the coach of the team. But no, look, I don't have a problem with it. Is it a sign of softness? I don't think anybody's going to ever watch P.J. Tucker play at any level in Texas or around the world or here in the NBA and say he's a soft player.
No. No one would ever say that to P.J. Tucker's face.
But, you know, no. So I don't think he's not allowed to compliment the guy. I mean, it's a basic fact. He's one of the greatest scorers the league's ever seen. But I guess, you know, you can't say that about Kareem, or you can't say that about your opponent. Now, maybe after the series, not during. Where are you on it, Zay?
I see it both ways. I think that since it's PJ and both of them are Texas alums, that it's a little different, but I get what those old heads are talking about.
Old heads. I love it. Very cool. Very cool. All right, we'll come back when we do. Brecken Hager, former Texas football player, now actor. He's got a new movie coming out. Robert Duvall's the star of it. Luke Wilson. Martin Sheen, but Brecken is in it. We'll talk about his role in 12 Mighty Orphans, which is coming out this weekend in the Lone Star State and then around the country next week. Also, David Pierce, the head baseball coach, University of Texas, his weekly visit at 8:30. We are live, we are local, we are digital. We are always streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and always at hornfm.com.